Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the VIP Ignite podcast. I'm your host, Deneen White. Today I'm so excited to introduce you to Nicole Julian. She is pretty young, but she has so much experience that I cannot wait for her to share her story with you. It's going to be a great call today when she gets on the phone. She's just having a little technical... Oh, there she is. Hold on just 1 second. Sorry. It's one of those days. Hi, Nicole. How are you today?
Hi, Deneen. I'm good. And yourself?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I've been so excited to have you on the show since I talked to you last week.
I know, I've been super excited about it all week. It's been a really busy week of being on set and stuff, so this is like a nice breath of fresh air conversation we were going to get to have today.
Well, I'm so excited to be a breath of fresh air to somebody. So before we get into the podcast, can you tell my audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, So, hi, guys. My name is Nicole Rose Julian. I've been acting since I was about 12. I'm born and raised Cali girl. I had a wonderful opportunity of getting some early screen acting training from a very young age. So I started writing around that time, not in format, really badly, but it progressively got better. And now I currently am a freelance writer, photographer, and actor.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot that you do there, Nicole. Awesome.
Well, I mean, so, everybody has to do a lot of everything over here, so.
Yeah, that's so true. So when did you discover that this is what you wanted to do? I know you said you started acting at age 12. So, like, what was it about acting that you were like, this is something I have to pursue as a career?
Everybody starts off differently, because when I was little, my dad was actually a singer, in a doo-wop band, and I was determined to be just like my dad. So performing was always in my heart, and singing was always my thing. But then I found out that I wanted to be a lot of other things too, like astronaut was on the list, cowgirl, lion tamer, if not the lion itself, and among other things. And I realized, oh, if I'm an actor, I can be all of those things, and it doesn't require half as much as the schooling. And
nice.
I decided that was something that I could pursue.
I love that perspective. Maybe I should go into acting, because I wanted to do a lot of different things too.
And I wanted to be able to explore everything. And I always wanted to be a superhero really badly, or, like, learn how to do stuff. Like, one of the big things on my list was to learn how to wield a sword. So I found a school that would teach me how to do it. And I went there. I went to the American School and Dramatic Academy, and that was pretty much the selling point for me. Oh, we'll teach you how to use a sword. And I was just like, yep, I'm in.
You're like, here's my credit card. Thank you very much.
Yes, take my money. I will. I'll show up every day. And
that's awesome.
It's just really funny, because I ended up not staying there, because I ended up following a different path. But then I got well acquainted with some friends at this place called Sword Play in Burbank, and then I befriended all of them, and they knew how to do sword stuff. So that was really great. And I had really wonderful teachers there, and gained a whole new idea just by wanting to learn a new skill.
That's awesome. Yeah, we tell I work with a lot of new talent, and one of the things that we tell all of them is that you have to have, like, a superpower. You have to have a special skill. And I think it's, like,
ooh,
can you imagine how many doors will open because you have that on your resume? Yeah, I know how to wield a sword. Like, how many group women your age know how to wield a sword?
Not many. And
right?
People are, like, confident enough to be like, I know the footwork and I know how to protect myself. Okay. Because literally the difference between stage combat and actual combat, I like to say, is 2 inches.
Okay. Yeah, right? That's awesome.
Like, literally, it's a matter of 2 to 3 inches between you and your person.
That's awesome. I mean, I love that. What other kind of special skills have you acquired to just because it's something you wanted to do, but then that'll help differentiate you from your competition, if you will? Have you amassed other skills like that?
Aside from stage combat, I also took it upon myself to learn an Irish accent, and also perfect my British one when I traveled abroad and like listened to people, so I can
okay.
I can go into British relatively easily, and it's one of my favorite things to do. I enjoy like freaking people out, and then it just kind of rolls into Irish very easily for me because it's very fun language things, and I like to take on languages, and it's a fun, like a little fun thing, if that's like something I can teach you with.
That's awesome. I love that. No, I think that's so cool. And then you could even like take that into voice acting or something like that. Is that something that you've done?
I've only played around with it, but it is something I'm considering to pursue. More so, I'm actually looking on taking care of my singing chops right now and starting to perform covers at places because I really want to get into performing songs again because I haven't done that in a long time.
So I have to ask you this question, Nicole. You have skills in screenwriting, production design, production assistance. You can do voiceover, you can sing. I mean, you can act, you can do all of these different things, right? So how do you prioritize like what you want to do, or is there an opportunity? Like, how do you work all of that out? Like, and especially living in LA, explain this to me.
Somebody really cool once told me, follow the joy. If you don't like
okay.
it, don't do it. If you do it too much,
mm-hmm.
you'll burn out. So give yourself breaks. So I did. I spent a good amount of June, working really, really hard on trying to submit a writing piece. I did some writing, and then I did some poetry. Okay, I've been doing writing a lot. Let's get into the more physical stuff. I've been focusing on my body and wellness. So then I'm just like, okay, I haven't been singing as much. Let's start singing again. And then once we get into that part, I'm just like, maybe I should like consider running or listening to newer music. And then I just start thinking about all the physical parts. And then when the urge hits me, I write more. And it just kind of becomes an ever-flowing process. Because people
okay.
really forget that you're a human being and that you can't do
mm-hmm.
everything all at once. So you kind of just have
yeah.
to give yourself rest breaks so you don't burn out on any one thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the wise person that told you to follow where the joy is. I know I totally paraphrase because that's something that we talk about all the time with our new talent also. It's like you have to love what you're doing and you have to love it so much that you can't live without it. But I love, again, that you have so many talents that like when you'll still find joy, but sometimes you're like, okay, you know what? I just need to take a break so there's another place that you can go. There's another
yeah.
creative avenue, rather, that you can walk down.
Exactly. You
That's
have
awesome.
To, but you also have to be willing to give yourself that option because, unfortunately, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what type of art you do. We are all our own worst critics. So if you,
mm-hmm.
like, beat yourself up over not doing something, then you're defeating the purpose. Like, you're getting mad at yourself for the things that you have yet to accomplish. And that's a self, like you're already losing before you've even won in that.
Yeah, that's self-sabotage is what that is. When you're hypercritical of yourself like that, especially in the arts, like there's
yeah.
being self-aware and then there's being hypercritical. And like that balance is like, it's a very fine line.
Yeah. And it's really, really hard. I'm going to tell you, I have had plenty of nights where I thought, I really am not sure about this. Maybe I should just get into something that is easy or like that everybody
mm-hmm.
else does. But then you have to understand, you look back and you're like, I'm not where I was like several years ago. And I am
mm-hmm.
already pursuing something that not everybody else pursues. And that puts you ahead of the curve
yeah.
like by tenfold. You care.
Mm-hmm.
You actually care. That's way
yeah.
more than what other people are. And if you care about it, that's, like, you've already won. Like, you have something that you
yeah.
genuinely want to do. So.
Yeah.
it's important.
Yeah, and it's
and also find a support system to keep that.
Yeah, let's talk about the support system because that's been a theme in my day. Like, how do you find that support system and, like, how do you cultivate it while you're pursuing so many different avenues?
It's kind of hard because there's a lot of people that want to be around you because they feel like they might get ahead, or there's those people that don't really know what they want and kind of don't know how to help you. And I've found that over time, it's really about people that value your time, so you want to value theirs, and also just good company. Like, if you can just sit down with a person and laugh about nothing, then you're in a good spot. And
yeah,
like, I got really lucky because I started off with a good support system with my mom, and I kind of had a good idea of what a genuine human, like, back and forth was like. And once I got, like, older, when I turned 18, I realized my mom was actually a really cool human being and not just my mom. And I found other people that were like, I know people, it's like our parents are like this enigma of, yeah, she's my mom, I have to love her. But sometimes it's not always like that. And I'm very, very lucky that I have that. And then it kind of opened the door of who I would let treat me a certain way and how I would enjoy these people in my space. And then it's just really fun when you're a nerd and you can, like, geek out with other people about the same stuff. Because, trust me, this was a conversation about films and or Buffy the Vampire Slayer or, like, how Disney Channel television shows have changed significantly with their humor over the past 10 years. We would be talking for hours. But to me, it's finding those people, like, finding your tribe. And that's how you do it. And then if it feels like it's not working out anymore, get rid of it because it's going to only drag you down.
Yeah. No, everything you're saying is right. And it's so funny because that's a conversation that we have all the time. It's like, yeah, you know, have you noticed how the humor has gotten so much darker and blah, blah. And I'm like, I can't have this conversation with just anyone because people look at you like, what? Like, what are you talking about? It's just Grey's Anatomy. I'm like, no, it's not just Grey's Anatomy. Like, look at the differences, and they're like, okay. So the conversation ended. But let's move on.
You're like, no. It's also run of the mill thing. I'm a diehard Marvel fan. So I talked to someone on set recently. It was a background actor, and we were in between takes on something, and he saw my backpack, and he, like, flat out said, I thought Endgame was, like, a waste of my time. It was, like, everything I've ever seen. And my heart just went, what? Like, what?
Did you have a throwdown on set about Marvel, Nicole?
There was a part of me that, like, hurt inside. I was just like, why are you even standing next to me? Like, did you not see my backpack?
Stop breathing your oxygen.
Like, I have a Marvel backpack that's sitting in front of me on my desk right now, and it literally has Spider-Man, Thor, the Hulk, and everything on it, like a cool comic book stand. And I'm just like,
okay.
There's only so much respect that you can have for a conversation. Like, I read somewhere recently where the captain from Doctor Who, he said a quote. He said, never apologize for being nerdy, because assholes never apologize for being assholes.
I love that quote. So I'm writing that down right now. That's the best quote I've heard in, like, forever.
That's so true. It makes so much sense. But it's like that for when you're an artist, too. Be unapologetically and ruthlessly yourself, because there are some people that don't know how to do that yet. That's me. It's a part of the process of growing up. Like, you become in your own space, and you become your own person and artist. And I feel like once you find people that you don't have to change yourself for, you're already getting into it because these people already accept you. You don't have to fight to have people accept you. And I recently learned to understand that as my circle has kind of grown slightly, I've just started to surround myself with, like, really cool people. And then you realize those few that are, like, still there, and you're like, I love you. I'm so happy you're still here. And you realize why they're there. And it's really important because I actually did something kind of emotional with my support system recently. The movie Rocket Man came out a few weeks ago. I felt really for it because, one, I love Taron Egerton. He's wonderful, and he's a gorgeous human being. And the fact that he was from Elton John, like, made my heart, like, explode. But that movie was very much about, like, how it took a darker turn than I expected it to, about how he was into drugs and, like, very much how he put on a brave face for performing and what was going on behind closed doors. And I literally, after I saw that movie, borderline drunk called everyone. I was completely sober and was just like, I love you, I appreciate you, thank you for being there for me. Because that character, that person in particular, they made it very clear that he just did not have a support system. And I was just like, I may not be uber famous, but I incredibly appreciate your existence in my life. And I sent that to multiple friends, and they were just like, I really needed that today. And I'm like, thank you, because I needed you, and you've been there for me multiple times. I'm happy I could oblige. You just got to do that sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. You got to do that, and I love that a movie moved you to that point. Like, that's the power of art, and that's, like, the power of music. Like, and I think that's why it's so fantastic to talk to someone like you who's so passionate about it, because that's the impact that you're going to have in someone's life one day. One day someone is going to watch something that you're in, and they're going to call their friends and say, I just want you to know I love you. And they're going to be like, oh, I love you too. But it's like that's the power of the art. That's a beautiful thing. And now I want to see that movie. So you're making my list very long, Nicole. You're giving me homework, and you don't even realize it. It's awesome.
I'm sorry, but I'm happy for you.
No, don't be sorry at all. No, it's fantastic. So I have a question for you. Like, I talk to a lot of guys that are into the Marvel and the superheroes. Can you explain how you became such a super fan of, like, Marvel and the superheroes?
I blame Spider-Man and his animated series in the late 90s, early 2000s on Fox Kids. I watched it every day. And it, for some reason, it just struck me very intently about a superhero that had a normal life, or the best one that he could have. Like, he was the one that was constantly trying to make sure that his Aunt May had everything she needed in her refrigerator. He was the superhero that had to go get milk at the end of his route. Like, I really kind of fell in love with that, and in turn, I started to understand that all of these superheroes, especially in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the animated series as well, have very human qualities because they struggle with things like everybody else.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me feel like, oh, I could be one too. Awesome. All right. My superpowers aren't slingy webs, even though if you caught me on a day where I was particularly sleepy and feeling goofy, I could convince a small child that it was something I could do. I would be down and do something like that. But there was always hope. That was the thing that I fell in love with about it. They're brighter. They fill you with hope and make you want to do something afterwards. And I felt that after reading a few of the Spider-Man comics when I was in middle school and high school, and also just seeing the cinematic universe unfold as we went along. And I fell in love with them to die for. And I've just been repping, like, super hard the past 2 years.
Hey, I mean, a lot of great movies have come out. A lot of great superhero movies have come out in the last 2 years. So it's awesome. I love that you that you mentioned how human the characters are, and I'm really, really, really happy that I didn't lead by asking you if you would hate me if I thought Spider-Man in particular was really annoying.
Oh, no. To be honest, I understand that sentiment, but I've seen where the character has been. I like where the character is going, and I personally can stand behind my Spider-Man. So it's good. It's fine.
Okay.
I understand. Got this. I absolutely deplore Superman. I cannot stand him.
What do you hate about Superman?
You wrote a character that's practically invincible. Why the hell is kryptonite so easy to get? And if he's invincible, then how do we still have problems in this universe? Huh? Why? Huh? Yeah. You wrote a character that has nothing. Like, it just makes me so upset. Anytime. I couldn't stand watching the superhero films, and it just infuriates me. I'm sorry. I'm passionate about it.
No, I think it's awesome. Okay, so did you ever see the movie Stand By Me?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I feel like right now we're having the conversation when they're walking down the railroad tracks and they're like, "Do you think Mighty Mouse can beat up Superman?" Only a few women having that conversation. This is like the best moment of my podcasting life right now.
I mean, I'm happy. I'm making memories, Denise. I'm happy. I'm making memories.
Yeah,
but
I mean, just imagine how our coffee conversation is going to go.
Oh God. I will say, if I can slightly diverge from conversation, that I'm really proud of DC right now for coming out with Shazam, because beside the fact that I'm a Marvel junkie, I really, really enjoyed Shazam earlier this year.
Okay.
And I can't wait to see the progression of that story, because Zachary Levi did a fantastic job doing that character, and I couldn't picture anyone else doing it. And I'm really proud of him for it. So if this ever reaches his ears, I'm just like, dude, got a fan. Already like you from Chuck, but super love him for like that film. Because I legitimately walked out of that movie like, that was nice. Go DC. Go DC for that one.
That's awesome. I may just be able to get this podcast to his ears. So I'm going to have to work my magic and see if I can't make that happen for you.
I will totally be
How about
like,
that?
Dude.
That's
I appreciate
awesome.
All of your effort. I saw that you tried. It was great. You were successful.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. So let's get back on talking about you. I mean, we've done a really fantastic job about talking about superheroes, but you just said you were on set. Can you tell us a little bit about set life?
I want to say it's a mixture of The Office and your best school project that runs as smoothly or as hectic as you ever have. Because being on set is one of my favorite things. I don't really – I kind of like post-production, it's okay, and then pre-production is kind of boring. Actual production is like my bread and butter. I absolutely love it because – you can make really wonderful moments happen, and it's very easy to make a few people's day that way. But if you have a really good crew, it runs really, really smoothly. There's lots of jargon being tossed around. There's a lot of moving bodies. And then you kind of get this magical moment after people say action of the entire room changes, and you're instantly in this place that – didn't really exist when you walked through the door. And if you're lucky, you're on like a sound stage or something where the complete era of the room is completely different from what you were outside. And it just kind of takes you somewhere, but it also happens over and over and over again. So there's a lot of hurry up and wait. But if you like have the patience for it, you get to see a lot of really beautiful things happen in that space. And whether you're the actor, a background person, or you're working in it. It's for me. It is. It's almost like going to church. So, it's just really. It's just a really lovely experience.
That's awesome. So, for my audience, what level are you at? Are you doing speaking roles now, or like what type of roles are you taking on these days?
Well, I've actually been taking a backseat to acting a little bit for the past few months. I've been focusing more on writing, but as far as acting goes, I've been leaning more towards comedy. It's like one of my go-tos. I'm naturally funny. I can't try to be funny, but it just kind of happens.
Okay.
And as far as roles go that I'm going after, I'm trying to find a way to make a couple of shorts really soon where I'm starring, like doing some lead work that leads with all of my wonderful activities. But okay. Yeah, it's just kind of catering to like my skills.
Okay, that's awesome. So have you written the short? You said you've been in a writing phase. Is that what you've been writing?
I'm actually in the process of writing something like right now.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Can you walk me a little bit through that process? Like, I'm just like, how do you get an idea? Like, how do you get an idea, and how do you start putting it down on paper?
Absolutely, it literally starts with an idea. Like, I one time had 3 ideas in one day after seeing, I think the movie Coco. I was just in the movie theater, like, that's a good idea. Oh wow, that's another good idea. So it starts with an idea, and then you get the idea, and you write it down on paper, and then you're like, dang it, this is maybe not a good idea. Okay. And then you go back to the drawing board and figure out how you can put actual people with humans and emotions in these things. Then you break it down into its wonderful clockwork of human emotion. This person has a name. You give them names. And then if you feel strongly enough about it, you move forward. You break down. You got to know your ending. You got to know your beginning, your middle, and your end. And it's then once you go there, you lay out the skeleton, and then you fill in the guts and the muscle and all of the membrane to make it into this wonderful living thing. And if you're lucky, by the end of it, you'll like it.
Nice.
I will say that there is the unfortunate time where you may not like it at the end. Because if you care about your characters and you put them through hell, it kind of makes things more complicated. I'm one of those people that genuinely cares about my characters like they're people. So it kind of hurts me a little bit to put them through things. But then I'm like, ooh, drama. Like, literally. It's like watching, twirling my imaginary mustache. But when you give people realistic feelings and emotions about things and you think about all the moving cogs, then creating situations is easy. It's how they react to them that makes the situations more interesting. I highly recommend if anybody listening is an inspiring writer or storyteller in any way, that studying psychology and sociology and behavioral movements is a big one. It is so helpful. I had a couple of writers tell me that at a very young age, and it has helped me tremendously. I was just really lucky because I had the course in high school.
Studying psychology, no matter what you do in the world, is so helpful because it helps you to understand people in general. But I can only imagine how helpful it is when you're doing character development, because that makes your characters that much more robust than some of the flat characters that you see here and there. That's awesome.
It's a very distinct difference of when you're sitting at a table with a blank page to understand who your main character is and who your bad guy is. Because if your bad guy is the one that is incredibly charming and looks like he could kill, you need to be able to explain that through action and not just through words.
Yeah.
So there's most definitely, you need to people watch. You need to understand how people work a little bit better. And that is when good writing is the difference between good writing and excellent writing.
Yeah, that's so true. I love people watching. I love observing people and making up stories about people. Not in a malicious way, but like whenever I see someone, I like kind of like develop their character. Like some poor old lady like was like a mass killer today when I was out at the farmer's market. So I'm sorry, lady, but it's amazing. Like, again, studying psychology, but then just, like, making up how, like everything you're saying, like, the character development and having a background in psychology and sociology is so good because it could help you, again, paint a much more robust character with better character development that's understandable. So that's
absolutely.
I love that piece of advice. So anyone listening, make sure you take your psychology and your sociology class so you can be better at what you do.
Absolutely. It's helpful in everything. And it also helps you better understand how you feel about things. Because if you understand why you feel a certain way about something, you not only get to, you don't push it down or like try and get rid of it. You just understand how to dispel it, release it, and understand how to get through it. Because we may not be able to control how things happen to us, but we can control how we react to them. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
That's all acting.
Yeah.
Reacting to giving real reaction to fictitious circumstances.
That's the best encapsulation of acting that I've heard in a very long time. That's something I hope if you're listening that you need to go back and you need to write that down. It's so true. That's a fantastic description. Well, Nicole, I know you're probably going to be shocked by this, but our 30 minutes is already up. Can you believe that?
Wow, yeah. It's been a great combo that we've had.
It has. It has been a great conversation. So I just want to thank you so much for, first of all, taking the time to get on the podcast with me. But even more than that, I want to thank you just for your energy and your passion and the way that your descriptions are so vivid that I could close my eyes and see what you were saying. So I just want to thank you for that passion. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I hope we can do this again sometime soon.
I would love to, and it was a pleasure to be here. I'm so happy that we could chat, and I really hope that the people listening were able to get something good out of everything I said, aside from a possible Marvel addiction.
No, I mean, hey, you changed Spider-Man for me, and now I think he's a little less annoying. So you actually helped the Marvel universe today.
Yeah,
awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, you won. You won. So I just want to, again, I want to thank you so much for your conversation. I want to thank you, again, your passion is contagious. Like, I literally want to, take up sword fighting so I can be an actor or something. So, it was amazing to have someone on with such bright energy. So, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on with me.
And I'm very happy that I could, and you rock. So, it was easy.
Thank you so much. Well, have a fantastic weekend, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, looking forward to it. Have a good weekend, everyone else. Bye.
Bye. Bye. I just want to thank everyone so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the VIP Ignite podcast. I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Nicole and that you got some pointers out of our conversation. If you are interested in learning how to become an actor, a model, or a musician, please make sure that you go visit our website, which is 30xchallenge.com/discovered, so that you can learn more about what VIP Ignite offers and possibly get qualified to go to our next live networking event. Thank you so much, and have a great day.